about 2 weeks ago at PNC Park up in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the Tampa Bay Rays by a score of 6-3. You know, the big story wasn't the game, though. The big story is what happened between a brother and a sister in the stands. You see, the young brother caught a ball thrown to him by a Pirates outfielder. The outfielder's name was Jake Mangum. Between the innings, he threw the ball up to them, and the boy caught it, the older brother, they're both young, caught the ball and immediately gave it to his little sister and then sealed it with a great big hug as dad was cheering it on. The player for Pittsburgh, his name was Jake Mangum, he told this radio station on Sunday that the girl was pointing to his name on her jersey beforehand, before he threw the ball. And it says he was touched because it was the first time he had seen his number worn in the stadium. So it kind of moved him a bit. So he motioned to her that he was throwing the ball her way. The girl's name was Elle, E-L-L-E. They pronounce it Elle. But Elle's brother, Edward, who had a glove, stepped in to make a nifty scooping catch over the rail and immediately handed to her. The exchange touched off the sweet embrace as their dad, Chris, cheered. Elle said, "Jake Mangum is my favorite player." Mangum, who had two hits in the victory, was glad for the children's winning experience. Mangum said, "This is what the game of baseball is all about. She's a huge Pittsburgh Pirates fan, and she's got a really good big brother." Gets even a little bit better. The kids were invited by the Pirates' owner. His name is Bob Nutting. And for a future game, which has now occurred from what I understand, to be in his suite to watch the baseball game. And before that game, from what I understand, this brother and sister got to meet Jake Mangum. Mangum, that is, and other parts of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Got a swag bag, which had a bunch of goodies in it. Even through the baseball with Edward and Elle, this Mangum did. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Edward recalled the amazing emotions he felt. "It felt amazing to catch that ball over the rail," he said. "It felt even more amazing to give it to her and hug her." In an interview, Edward said something to the effect that he loved his little sister and wanted to show that he loved her by giving her the baseball. You know, in our lives as Christians, you know, God wanted to show his love for old rotten sinners like me and old rotten sinners like you. And you know how he did that? He sent his son Jesus to this earth. He sent his son Jesus to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, to live a perfect life, to die upon the cross, shed his innocent blood to pay for our sins, and then resurrected back to life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world," that's the people of the world, not the trees or the mountains or anything, but the people of the world, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," that's Jesus, "that whosoever," that's us, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You could clearly say that Jesus came for the lost. Jesus came for the lost. This morning, part two of this sermon series called "Jesus Came for the Lost." Now, I want to tell you something. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon series just on salvation or just a pure salvation message. Of course, I preach sermons, usually single sermons, if you will, and I've got up here and said, you know, here's a pure salvation message. But God laid upon my heart, and it looks like it's probably going to be a three-parter. It might evolve into a four-parter. Just a pure salvation message of how the Lord loves us so much, of how the Lord wants us to be saved. Now, if you're sitting there today and you said, "Well, preacher, I'm saved." And I know that describes most of you. You're there, you say, "I know that I know that I know that I'm saved." Well, if you're saved, you know what you know what you can do for this message today? You can just sit there with a smile on your face and say, I'm thankful that I know Jesus. I'm thankful that I have a purpose for living, and I'm thankful that I know where I'm going when I die. And you can be praying for someone who may need to hear this message about salvation. So I don't know if someone here is not sure you're truly born again. I don't know if someone who may be listening to live stream, do we ever get live stream? Okay, they're not listening on the live stream. So it must be somebody here needs to hear this message. But you know, if we lose the message of salvation, we've lost our message. I mean, it's great and to preach for Christians and how to grow and mature in the Lord, but we can never lose the foundation of our lives is the salvation that Jesus provided us on the cross. The title of the series again, Jesus Came for the Lost. Jesus came for the lost. In the way of review, last Sunday morning we looked at point number one, Jesus came to seek the lost. Jesus came to seek the lost. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I'm going to read it to you. It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the very words of Jesus. He's saying, you know what? The Son of Man, that's the way he described himself quite often, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So if you're here today and you're lost, never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, can I tell you that the Lord is seeking after you? You know, Jesus wants everybody to be saved. Do you know that? I mean, he doesn't want anyone to perish without trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So if you're here today and you're lost, I can say on the authority of God's word that the Lord Jesus is seeking after you for you to be saved. You say, I don't know what this feeling is inside of me. I'm not sure what in the world's going on. It seems like I'm missing something. That's probably the Lord Jesus trying to get your attention. Seriously. So Jesus came to seek the lost last Sunday morning. Number two from last Sunday morning, Jesus came to save the lost. In that same verse, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and what? To save that which was lost. You see, Jesus came to save our soul and to save us from our sin and the consequences of our sin. The consequences of our sin would be death, would be hell separated from God. So Jesus came to personally save you. You know, I've heard preachers say, you know, if I was the only person in the world, Jesus would have still gone to that cross and died for me. And I believe that. You know, this is a personal type of salvation. He come to save the individual. We have to make that choice. So Jesus came, number one from last week, Jesus came to seek the lost. Number two from last week, Jesus came to save the lost. And number three from last week, Jesus came to speak to the lost. Now, during his earthly ministry, what did Jesus spend an exorbitant amount of time doing? Talking to people. He taught the word. He preached the word. He talked to people. He met them on their level. Even so much so that the religious leaders, they were trying to criticize him. And you know what they called him? A friend of publicans. Now, that's tax collectors. Tax collectors today aren't exactly too high. The IRS, that is not exactly our favorite organization. Is it anybody's favorite organization? No, I don't think so. But here especially, publicans were working for the Roman government collecting taxes from the Jews. So they were despised and rejected. But they wanted to criticize Jesus, and they called him a friend of publicans and sinners. And he was. Jesus came to speak to the lost. Matthew 11:19, I'll just read that to you. It says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. You see, Jesus spent that time speaking to people, sharing with them that he was the Messiah, how to live your life for God. And you know, today he's passed that on to the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. You know what the role of the Holy Spirit, or one of the roles, is to convict people of their sin. You know, that's that still small voice inside of someone who is lost that says, hey, you need to trust Jesus. Hey, you need to wake up. Hey, you need to secure your future in heaven by trusting Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for that. The Bible says in John 16:8, Jesus, the words of Jesus, and when he, that is speaking of the Holy Spirit, is come, he will reprove, that means to convict or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So probably if you're here today already in the message and you're saying, I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I'm just not, seem like something's in my heart. Seem like there's an urging in my, I bet it's the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you're lost, the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention by convicting you of your need of a Savior. This morning, if we can, we're going to look at 2 points. Are you ready? I'll give you the outline right now. You ready, Larry? I'm going to give you the outline to start out. Jesus came for the lost. This is part 2. This morning we're going to look at Jesus came to scrub the lost. And the next point we're going to look at is Jesus came to soothe the lost. Jesus came to scrub the lost. I'm not sure I've ever used the word scrub in a point of many of my messages, but it's very true. And then Jesus came to soothe the lost. S-O-O-T-H-E. I'm reminded sometimes by my wife that she can't understand exactly what I'm saying in the message. She said, what was that word you said? So soothe, S-O-O-T-H-E. First of all, Jesus came to scrub the lost. Jesus came to scrub the lost. You say, preacher, what exactly do you mean? Do you know what Romans 3:23 says? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know there's not a person here today who's not a sinner? And there's not a person here today that will not ever be a sinner while they're in this world. Because we're sinners, right? Now, it's not an excuse for doing things just like we want to do. Well, I'm just a sinner, so I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. No, that's not an excuse. But the truth of the matter is, every one of us have sinned against God. So all have sinned. All means all, and that's all that it means. It means every single one of us. And we have a sin problem. We're dirty because of our sin. We're guilty because of our sin. We have shame in our heart because of our sin. And you know what the Bible says in Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death. In other words, if we get what we deserve, we would die and be separated from God forever and ever. But the verse goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But see, before we trusted Jesus, we needed a scrubbing. We needed a cleaning, right? I'm thankful that through salvation, Jesus can scrub the sin away. Do you know when you're saved, your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins are all wiped clean? Really, they are. The slate is wiped completely clean. You are forgiven of those sins. You are scrubbed from those sins. Now, do they still affect us? Do we still sin? Absolutely. And we need to go to God. It says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, what? From all unrighteousness. So even though they've all been forgiven, we very often, every day I'd recommend, if not more, say, Lord, I did this, I shouldn't have done this. Would you forgive me of my sins? And that fellowship and that relationship is close. But aren't you thankful that when Jesus came for the lost, He came to scrub the lost? I'm glad He didn't leave me the way that I was. Now, a lot of you, now I was only 11 years old, so it wasn't like I was into drugs. It wasn't like I was into, you know, all kind of rotten stuff. But still, I was an old rotten sinner. And I needed to save. And I know some of you might have been saved a little bit later in life. And you have the testimony, well, God scrubbed that alcohol out of my life. God scrubbed those drugs out of my life. God scrubbed that old sinful tongue that I have out of my life. Again, I'm not preaching perfection, but really, Jesus came to scrub the lost, to get rid of their sin, to wipe their sins clean. You know, the Bible puts it very clearly in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Listen to what it says in this area of scrubbing. It says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." That's a pretty good idea, right? Listen to what God has to say. Reason through what he has. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall" what? "Be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Boy, you know, when God does the scrubbing, he does a good job, don't you think? Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that" what? "Your sins may be blotted out." What is it saying? Repent, start doing things God's way, turn around, be converted or be saved. Why? "So that your sins may be blotted out," taken care of, scrubbed clean. It says, "when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Listen to this, speaking of Jesus. It says, "In whom we have redemption," we've been bought back through his blood. And notice it says, "the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." You know what? I'm very thankful that Jesus came to scrub this old lost sinner. I'm thankful that he did not leave me the way that I was, but he took my sins, which were like scarlet, and made them white as snow in the eyes of God. That even though they were like crimson, he made them like wool. I'm thankful that he's blotted out those sins. I'm thankful that he has forgiven me completely of my sin. And you know, this same Jesus can do it for every single one of you. And for many of you, he has. And for that, would you say amen? Amen. You know, I'm a pretty thorough hand washer. I'm not obsessive compulsive, but I'm a pretty good hand washer. I remember one time my father-in-law Joe said, "Man, he washed his hands as much. I thought he was going into surgery or something, scrubbing up for surgery." You know, the rule 20 seconds, you know, is recommended to get all the germs off, and I scrub pretty good. That means you can sing the happy birthday song twice. We had two had birthdays today, right? Howard, good to see you today, and Mary Lou with us today, Wonder Woman. And I might say it's good to have Danny and Don with us. Good to see y'all today. But I'm a pretty good hand washer. You can sing happy birthday twice, and they say it gets most of the germs. But when I wash my hands, I get between the fingers, you know. I get under my nails. You know, usually I take a nail from the other finger and just kind of go through a little bit. I make sure the soap stays on there, keep moving quite a bit. I even move my wedding band just a little bit to get under my wedding band. So I'm a pretty good scrubber, if you will, of my hands. But that's nothing compared to what Jesus wants to do in the life of a sinner. Jesus will scrub your life. He'll scrub your sins away with your guilt and your shame for committing those sins. I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that the Lord Jesus came for the lost? And he came to scrub the lost. An unbeliever once ridiculed the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ by saying, "If Jesus Christ is able to save to the uttermost, why is it that there are so many unbelievers?" The Christian to whom he was speaking stopped a very dirty little boy who was passing by, and turning to the unbeliever said, can you blame soap and water for the filth of this boy? It was available to all, but only those who accept it experience its regenerating, and I would say scrubbing, power. I'm thankful that Jesus came to scrub the lost. The second point this morning, and probably the last. Don't fall out of your seat. This will take a little bit of time, but this is really, really good. This is really, really good because this describes what a lost person who trusts Jesus as their Savior gets saved, gets born again. We use terms sometimes might confuse people, but basically when you say born again, you say saved, you say become a Christian, you say trust the Lord as your Savior. It's basically describing the same thing. So don't let that confuse you. I know sometimes I use a little different terminology, and I think it's good to have a variety, but we're speaking of that same thing. But you know, every person who is lost today, anybody who may be lost here today, let me tell you what the Lord Jesus can do for you right now in this world. You know, I don't want you to think, and if you're saved, you should be experiencing all of these things. You know, I don't want anybody to believe. Some people believe Christianity is a real, real, real down thing. D-O-W-N, down thing. It's like, man, you can't have any fun. You can't put a smile on your face. You just go around like this all the time and just kind of mope around. And it's just no, I'm telling you, you got the wrong picture of Christianity if you think that's what Christianity is. Our preacher in Chattanooga, he's under his ministry for several years. He used to say, you know what? I have more fun serving the Lord than the devil's crowd has on purpose. And really, we ought to get together. And I said this, and I hope you feel this way. Like we talked about the choir. We have fun at the choir. I think if choir practice is boring and choir practice is a real drudgery, I think you better talk to your choir director. Because singing for the Lord ought to be joyful. We ought to have a good time. On Sunday morning, we ought to have a good time coming to church. In Sunday school, it ought not be. I've been in one church back in my home area. I think it's changed since, but I remember going to that church for like a special service. And it was a solid biblical church. It was a Baptist church. But I was afraid to move. It was so quiet. You know, I like noise in church. I like the amens. I like the kids talking. I mean, not disruptively talking, but I like to know that they're here, the coos of the baby and all that. I say all that to say this. Serving the Lord is not to be a drag. Serving the Lord is supposed to be a joy. And if you're here and you've never trusted Jesus and you think it's nothing but boring being a Christian, well, you're wrong. And if you as Christians aren't experiencing this, you're missing something too. Because listen, Jesus came to soothe the lost several ways. What about rest? What about in the area of rest? Look at this verse, Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Notice these. Jesus said, these are the words of Jesus. Listen, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I think I just described about every person in America, most likely, because it seems like all we do is buzz here and buzz there, and we got so much on our brain that life seems to be so complicated. But listen to what Jesus says he'll give to someone who comes to him. And I will give you rest. Wow. Isn't that something? You see, Jesus came to soothe and encourage the lost. He said, you come to me in salvation, guess what? I'll give you rest. Now, that's rest on the inside. And if we'd let him, that'd even be rest on the outside. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, there's that word again, rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, when you trust Him as your Savior and you lean on Him, He says, it's all right. You can just sit back and take a deep breath. It's all good. You've settled that soul account. You've settled your salvation with the Lord. You can just take a deep breath and rest upon me, and regardless of what happens, I'm in control. You see, Jesus came to soothe the lost. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? That he gives me rest in my soul. Second thing I wanted to look at momentarily, peace. You know, another thing that Jesus does for the lost when they trust the Lord as their Savior, He gives them a peace. You know, one thing that would describe most lost people is a lack of peace. I'd really say deep down inside, all lost people, because there's an unsettledness in their heart. You see, there's a place in the heart that only Jesus can fill. And until you trust the Lord as your Savior or become saved, you're going to lack that peace. There's going to be an unrest in your soul. Now, some people, now listen, this is a little parenthesis, all right? Some people as Christians, you don't have peace in your heart. You know why? You're not doing what God wants you to do. Because that will cause unrest in your soul too. But let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus and you want that peace, that calmness, kind of goes wrong with the idea of rest again, trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. He's what you're looking for. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Look at this verse, John chapter 14 and verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus, again, speaking to his disciples in the upper room discourse just before he went to the cross for us. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, the peace that Jesus gives is a peace that will sustain us. It's a peace that will allow us not to be troubled in life. It's a peace that will allow us to not be afraid in life. And it says, not as the world giveth. Now, what exactly is that all about? What's the peace that the world gives? It's kind of like the peace, you know what? If you keep working hard at your job, you'll get a promotion. And you'll get a big bonus. And you'll get a big raise. And you'll be able to buy that car. You know what? Most people that don't know the Lord, what they do, they might attain that. They get driving in their real fancy car. And guess what? You still got to put gas in that car. You still got to change oil in that car. But they think they're living there for a little bit, and they normally get to that high attainment, the peace of the world, if you will, and they're like, this isn't much. This is not what I thought it was. It might be like a temporary high, but I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus can give me a permanent high. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus gives me a permanent peace, aren't you? You see, Jesus came to soothe the lost, to help the lost, to encourage the lost by giving us rest and by giving us peace. What else does He give us? And this is by no means an exhaustive list, because we'd be here for days and days and weeks. He also gives us joy. Joy. I call it the smile on the heart. Even though the world may be falling apart around you, I can still have joy in my heart, and it better be spilling out every once in a while in the form of a smile. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, notice it says, "Whom having not seen," speaking of Jesus, "ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice." What kind of joy? Joy with joy unspeakable. And full of glory. Glorious joy that can't even be explained or described is what the Lord Jesus wants to give to the lost sinner that doesn't know Him as Savior. Joy. You know, that spring in your eternal step, if you will. That smile on your heart that the world may be going crazy, and it is. And people are crazy, and they are. And a lot of people in this country, I don't know what's happened to their brain. Seriously, I know God could change them. And God could work. And God could give them a joy like they've never known if they would simply humble themselves before God and recognize Jesus as their Savior, ask Him to forgive them of their sins, and be a truly born-again child of God. God could give them a joy like they've never known. And I'm thankful. I have no clue what's going to happen this afternoon. I have no clue what's going to happen even in the next 5 minutes. I definitely don't know what's going to happen next week or next year. But that's all right. I got a smile on my heart. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I don't want you to leave here and say, well, the preacher, he's got that joy all the time, got a smile on his face. No, we go through tough times. But even though we go through tough times and it may not always show on the outside, I got a smile on my heart. And it's because of Jesus and what he did for me. You see, Jesus came for the lost. He came to scrub the lost. And the point we're looking at right now, Jesus came to soothe the lost by giving us rest, by giving us peace, by giving us joy that can't even be explained fully. Joy unspeakable. You know what else the Lord wants to give anyone who is lost, who turns their life over to Jesus in salvation? He wants to give them purpose. Purpose in life. You know, you've heard the expression, run around like a chicken with their head cut off. How many of you have ever cut a chicken's head off and saw it run all around the farmyard? I figured some of you had. I bet that's pretty interesting. I don't think I've ever seen it, but I can kind of picture it. You know, the world is full of people running around like chickens with their heads cut off with no purpose. What's the purpose? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? And people that don't believe the Bible and do not believe that Jesus was God's son, a lot of them just believe that this is all there is right here. And I tell you what, I'd be a mess too if I thought this is all there was. Because I don't really think I got that many more years left. Do you? Probably not. I mean, I don't know. But you know what? Because I know Jesus, I can have purpose in my life. Purpose. I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm like, I know what God wants me to do, and by golly, I'm going to do it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. Paul is writing to the Ephesian church, obviously to Christians, and he says, for we're his workmanship. Some would say, a good translation of this would be, for we are his masterpiece. Wow. Created in Christ Jesus. What for? Unto good works. And where do we learn what good works are? By looking at the Bible, right? It says, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. You know, I'm thankful that God gave us the Word of God, aren't you? I'm thankful that I don't have to guess on what's expected of me and what I'm supposed to be doing and what I'm not supposed to be doing. I'm thankful that I have the Word of God to give me guidance and direction. And you know what? Because of that, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, He gave me purpose. And you say, that's just because you're a preacher. You're talking about ministry. No, I'm not talking about that. Because everybody who knows Jesus can have purpose in life. God doesn't call everybody to be a preacher. God doesn't call everyone to be a missionary. God doesn't call everybody to be an evangelist or in full-time service in any way. But God does call us to fulfill His purpose in our life. The general purposes are right here, but God will let you know what He wants you to do. And I'm thankful that I don't have to wonder, I wonder what God wants me to do. It's right here. I wonder what God has called me to do. He's confirmed that in my heart through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, what I'm supposed to do for Him, and He should do the same for you. But aren't you glad that you're not running around like chickens with your heads cut off? You know that you're here for a purpose, and the Lord Jesus can do the same thing for anybody who is lost without the Lord when you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. One more thing that I wanted to cover. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. We'd be here for weeks. But the last thing we're going to look at, not only does the Lord Jesus come to soothe the lost by giving us rest and peace and joy and purpose, last one we're going to look at, victory. Victory. You see, Jesus came to give us victory. You know, I don't know about you, but I sure like winning a whole lot more than I like losing. You know, I'm not one of those people that maybe, I don't think so. I don't think I was ever quite like that. But, you know, I have to win at all costs. I never felt that way, okay? Competitive, absolutely. I don't like to lose. I like the word victory, don't you? And even when the boys are on the league teams and they divide up and play softball or basketball or volleyball against the, there's three total leagues. They're watchmen. Ryan and Jason were both watchmen. It's a family thing that once you're on one, your family that follows you goes onto the same league. And when we hear that they won a volleyball game or won a basketball game or won a softball game, we're like, yeah, good job. I like to hear that. Don't we all like to win? I don't. I really wonder about anybody who says, I enjoy losing. I'm sorry, but I'd really wonder a little bit about you. Now, again, you can go too far, and I don't think I really ever have to win. I've tried to play by the rules and do what God wanted me to do, absolutely. But I prefer to be the victor. And you know, when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you are the victor. You are the winner. You are in victory right now. As a child of God, it's not like, well, someday I'm going to experience victory. Let me tell you, when you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, made that decision, that once-in-time decision to be saved, you became the victor right then and there. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are conquerors. Is that what it says? Close. We're more than conquerors. Wow. That talks about victory to me. Through him that loved us, through the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. Notice, it says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that Jesus came to soothe the lost, to encourage the lost, to help the lost by giving them rest and peace and joy and purpose and victory? And if you're sitting there today and you say, I've never trusted Jesus and I don't have any of those things, let me tell you, I've got good news. You can trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. We're in what's called the age of grace or the church age. And we preachers can get up and say, you know what? You can come forward and trust the Lord as your Savior today. The invitation is still there. You know, this idea of soothing. You know, when I've worked really hard and I'm totally worn out and maybe pretty, at this age, stiff. As I've said, I don't think I necessarily get so sore anymore, but I just get stiff. You know, after I do something and then I sit down for a while, I was like, man, it just takes me a while. And I'm like, I'm walking kind of funny. How come? It's kind of a jab against your ego a little bit. Like, why am I not moving as fast as I used to? But, you know, one of the things, if I find myself worn out, maybe stiff, one of the things that soothes me the most is a good hot bath. I mean, the hotter the better. As hot as you can stand it. And it's like, whew. You know, I figure there's some people that may be here today that of trying to be soothed with all kind of things, trying to find happiness and purpose in life, but everything they try ends up being a dead-end road. Can I tell you that what will soothe your weariness of soul is by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He'll give you all kind of good stuff for this life. For this life, rest, peace, joy, purpose, victory, not even talking about the life to come. Jesus came for the lost. You see, Jesus wanted to show his love for us in a much bigger way than catching a baseball and passing it to us. He said, you know what, I want to show you how much I love you by sending my son Jesus to die on the cross for you. You see, Jesus came to scrub the lost. I have a question for you. Everybody alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I want to see everybody's eyeballs focused up here. Are you tired of carrying around the ball and chain of your sins? Are you tired of carrying around the ball and chain of your sins with all the guilt and the shame that you have for your sins? Can I encourage you, if I just described you, would you be saved today? Would you trust the Lord as your Savior? In a little bit, either it's going to be played or we're going to sing Just As I Am. If you're tired of carrying around that ball and chain of your sin and that guilt and the shame that you have, be saved today. You say, preacher, how exactly do you do that? From your heart. From your heart. In humility before God, you say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against you. Forgive me of my sins. And he will. And you say, Lord, I believe. And you mean this from your heart. As you pray to God and mean it from your heart, you say, I believe that Jesus was exactly who the Bible said he was. Your son who lived a perfect life, who died upon the cross and resurrected back to life, conquering death. I believe all of that. And I confess Jesus as my Savior. He's the one I'm going to follow. He's the one that's going to lead me. It's a commitment to the Lord. I think we do people a disservice when we fail to say, becoming a Christian is a commitment to the Lord. It's serious. So if you're tired of carrying around the ball and chain of your sin, along with your guilt and shame for all those sins, be saved today. And then we looked at Jesus came to soothe the lost. Are you weary today as a lost person? Are you worn out in your fruitless pursuit of happiness and purpose in life on your own? Does your heart need some soothing? Does your heart need some encouragement? If so, let me tell you, be saved today. You know, I really suspect that in a lot of our churches, there are people who have too much pride to truly be saved. And that may not be what people think. People may say, oh, surely they're saved. Surely they're saved. They come to church. But I think a lot of church members have never been saved. Man, can I be very frank with you? If you're here today, and maybe you've been in this church for a long time, maybe you've been in a lot of different churches, maybe you know people think you might be saved, but you really aren't. If I were in your shoes, I would be scared to death. I mean that. I would be scared to death. I probably, if I was not willing to trust the Lord as my Savior, I'd crawl under the bed because I'd be afraid that something would happen to me and I would find myself in a godless hell forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm telling you, this is serious business. This is as serious as it gets. If you're not sure that you're saved, there's a pretty good chance that you're not saved. And I would settle that today. You can do that. You can leave this place saying, you know what? I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I know where I'm going to be when I die. A lot of people need to trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Let me encourage, if you're here today and you're saved, you say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I hope that you're just there with a grateful heart. I hope you're just saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But I don't want you to be in neutral. I want you to be praying for anyone who may be here today who's not saved. Pray that the Holy Spirit convicts them and that person says, yes, I want to know that I'm saved. Have you ever watched the game show, The Price is Right? On that game show, I figure a lot of you have seen it through the years. It used to be hosted by Bob Barker. But the climax of that show, if you will, you have the Showcase Showdown. Remember that? And you have two contestants up there, and they show one showcase. And the top winner says, do you want that showcase or do you want to pass? And normally, if there's not a car in it, nobody wants it, okay? They'll say, I'll pass because I want a car. And then they show the second showcase, and each one of the contestants bids on their showcase. And whoever's the closest without going over wins their individual showcase. But, you know, there's another kicker in that. From what I understand, if they get within $250 of their showcase without going over, you know what happens? They get both showcases. Wow. tell you that being saved or trusting the Lord as your Savior, it's a whole lot better, but if that makes you excited about winning two showcases, it's better than a double showcase winner because of all that the Lord Jesus does for us. What a blessing. I might say, when you trust Jesus as Savior, you know, people say, oh, it's a win-win situation. That doesn't describe it well enough for me. Trusting Jesus as your Savior is a win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win, and just keep on going, situation. I'd encourage you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I do not honestly know a better place than right here to nail that down. You say, what will people think? I would not give any care about what anybody thinks. I would simply do business with God. I'll be down front. We'll be singing. If you want to get saved today, you come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. You say, I don't know. That takes a lot of boldness. Well, Jesus went to the cross for us. I think you can have a little bit of boldness to come forward to trust Lord Jesus as your Savior. And again, if you're a Christian, praise the Lord. If you're a Christian, be praying for anyone who may be lost. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that for those that have trusted Jesus, Lord, we have all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, help us to even be better servants. But Lord, what a praise that we know why we're here. We have joy and peace and purpose in our life. We know where we're headed, and we just praise you for that. But Lord, for anyone here today that says, I don't know. I don't know these things. I don't have these things. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I pray, Lord, you'll just give them the boldness. Light a fire under them, Lord, tonight or this morning. May they just come forward and say, preacher, I want to be saved. Lord, help every single one of us to be engaged, not to be in neutral during the invitation, but Lord, but as we sing, praying for other people, and maybe just saying to you, Lord, I thank you that I do know Jesus as Savior. Lord, we love and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.